Welcome back. Friday morning, 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here until 9. And, you know, some would say that the president's effect on the economy should, like me, should be minimal. You know, the government should not be running a free market economy. Market choices should be running the economy and all that. Right now, we don't have a lot of choice because there's choke points in the supply chain. So this is a bit artificial, and I understand that. But you could also make the argument right now that a president of the United States can affect certain things like the federal gas tax and things like that to give immediate relief without spending a dime. You can save your people by waiving the federal gas tax for, you know, that's just one idea. but I think we can all agree that having a guy in the Oval Office who almost literally has not spent a moment in the private sector since 1967 may not be the right guy. That's okay, though. I'm sure his vice president is right behind him chiming in on stuff. Oh, yeah. See, same bio. So, say what you will about past presidents, but I give Reagan a lot of credit because the economist Arthur Laffer, though you may say he's discredited, it's only if you sharpen your pencil really, really sharp and you make figures that didn't exist now, that you deny the simplicity of the Laffer curve. That is, as tax rates go up, tax revenue goes down because people find a way to squirrel their money away. People who pay taxes, wealthy people, find a way to squirrel their money away. Okay, so there's that. And also give Bill Clinton credit because the American economy in the 90s, you know, was booming because of one big deal was the overhead for the U.S. government went down because the Soviet Union collapsed. So there's that. You know, there was a point when the United States Army was maintaining over 800,000 troops in Western Europe. I mean, astounding. We couldn't muster that many in the entire U.S. military right now. And so in many ways, he had that sort of a post-war that was never fought effect. But nevertheless, the economy was managed well. Throughout all this time, from 1982 on, we have not seen inflation like the number that was released earlier today. And so for most people like myself, your living memory of inflation came from when you were a kid in the 70s. And I forgot the number. Brady, do you remember the number? Name checked you on inflation 1977, and it was less than right now, right? It was like 6.5%.
You're correct, 6.5.
1978, 6.5%. Today, 2021, 6.8%.
Oh, no, 78 was 7.59. 77 was 6.5.
Oh, we'll reach 7.59 probably next month. So, and so granted, you know, giant caveat here. Yeah, there's a bit of a pandemic coming on, and the government shut down the economy to apparently little or no effect in various states and federally. And so there was less demand for imported stuff. Now, for as we discover, so much of our furniture is made in China for some reason. I don't know why. But we're discovering that now because as the pandemic lifts, no matter what they say, restrictions are lessened now, and also because of the fact that the pandemic really was a life changer for a lot of people, me included. So now I'm that guy. I need furniture. We can't find it anymore because we couldn't afford. We did the math. $5,000 for a U-Haul to move $2,000 worth of furniture. So I had my daughter do that math. She came up with a $3,000 pointlessness gap. And I said, okay, then we won't do it. And by the way, that's because if you're unaware of this, so many people are leaving California, you can't get a U-Haul or a U-Haul trailer. And for the second year in a row, Governor Gavin Newsom is U-Haul Salesman of the Year. And people will drive U-Hauls if they can get one in California, to Austin, Texas, or Texas in general, Oklahoma, anywhere not California, and then they sit there empty because nobody is moving back to California. And so U-Haul flies deadhead drivers to those places to drive them back. And they still make money. That's how you do it with a one-way valve. And so the pandemic really was a life changer for a lot of people. And we saw that because yesterday the White House, in a never-before-coined term, a pre-buttle, they began laying the groundwork for today because Janet Yellen had told the White House, yeah, I got a bad number to release tomorrow, and it's going to be 6.8. And that's a lot. That's, you just subtract that from your monthly earnings, and that's not good. People don't want that. What do you got to offset that? And so they were telling us about this record number of people, record low number of people who quit their jobs. Well, that's because for the last couple months, we've been seeing a record number of people quit their jobs and move to a better job in a better place, or radically change their, now that we've all mastered sourdough. And the thing that beclowns my attitude about this is because, okay, granted, the pandemic in 1918, 1919 versus this was relatively short because that was an influenza A, not a coronavirus, which generally is now is becoming the fifth common cold, joining the other four coronaviruses. So. But the influenza A of 1918, 1919 burned through pretty quickly. And in all honesty, fairly light effects locally. There were riots here in Seattle. There was a mask mandate. There was a famous picture of Seattle police standing around like, it's like First and Pike. They're downtown and they have like bobby hats on and they all have masks on. But there were people who didn't want to wear a mask, and they were thrown in jail, where they promptly got Spanish flu, incorrectly named, and all that. And so there were people resisting the, you know, shutdown of schools, theaters, movie theaters, live theaters, obviously no sporting events and the whole thing. But it was brief. It wasn't done for months and months and months and months, and nobody thought of keeping schools closed, so they did not. There were some people 102 years ago who objected to the closing of churches and all that. But it came and went pretty quickly because government was on the same page as the economy, which was let's not let this thing hiccup the economy. Let's get back to running. Let's get kids back in school and all that. Because nobody was making money off of not being in school. Now, that's where we have progressed so much that there is almost an incentive in government to keep us permanently panicked. And finally, here comes this inanimate object, the market, inflation, to hopefully light a fire under people, because the Republicans are now a 10-point favorite over Democrats for who is better equipped to run the economy. And this doesn't, you know, you understand it's 11 months till the midterm elections. And this is what the White House is talking about. They're not talking about, you know, your prime rib costing 6.8% more. Actually, inflation for red meat and other proteins is higher than 6.8%. They're not talking about that. They're talking about how do we save our asses a year from now. Back in a second, that is the your big headline is the sale of F-35s to Finland, in my world. But, yeah, the other one is 6.8% inflation, the highest in 40 years. So how's that going? Back in a second, I'll tell you how it's going. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Brian Suits back here, 770 KTTH. Good Friday morning, everybody. And the traditional annual watching of the Army Navy game is going to be tomorrow. I didn't go to West Point, but anyway, it's in my experience as a prior enlisted guy, I was always like, it's a college. I mean, I get it. But buddy of mine was from my artillery officer's basic course was a quarterback he was a Point Wester, as we called him, and he was a quarterback at West Point. And now that I know the deal, By the way, and by the way, I'm proud of the kids. They really are really, really good people. No matter how politically correct service academies are becoming, you know, those are the best kids out there. You know, their SAT scores, they have to show full, you know, athletic pack. You know, they're all full package kids. That's great. But man, I got to tell you, that is such a good deal. Can you imagine leaving college, not just with no debt, but with a interest-free loan that you really don't have to pay back, an interest-free loan, and you got paid to go to college. And they're the only athletes that the NCAA allows to be paid for going to college. Though that's not true, because now you can monetize yourself on Instagram, TikTok, you know, or whatever. Just that the college isn't paying you. In this case, the service academies, you know, they're paid. You're paid as an E6. You're paid as a staff sergeant. You know, and you're not spending any money. You know, who would select those clothes? You know, and so anyway, that's some of the details behind it. Anyway, I'll be thrilled to watch the Army Navy game. Go Army and all that. Inflation accelerated at its fastest pace since 1982. In November, the Labor Department said Friday. The Consumer Price Index, which measures the cost of a wide-ranging basket of goods, raised 0.8%, good for a 6.8% pace on the year. So it'll be interesting to see what the annual is. But so anyway, of course, the fallout of this is political. And that's what the White House is looking at now, because they're looking at two generations of Americans with barely a memory of what the word means, who haven't seen a number like this since 1977, 78, when we were kids, a media that doesn't really know how to report it. Half the media are taking the White House's word for it that, no, that's a good thing. No, inflating is a good thing. No, I mean, you know, at a kid's birthday party or erectile dysfunction. No, you want inflation. Yeah, no, it's a good thing. And these are people who couldn't be bothered to crack open a history book, but they majored in journalism. But they're going to be looking for, you know, these short-term solutions. And, yeah, federally, they can reduce the federal gas tax that you pay at the pump. In most Western states, I believe the biggest chunk is the state tax. And I'm not sure. Somebody, I guess I could drill down on this. But if you buy your gas on military fuel holiday, then you don't pay state tax. I'll confirm or deny this, but I buy my gas at a certain Native American establishment, and I do it on the belief that I'm not paying state taxes. So I'll have to check my math on that one, because believe me, if I suddenly go someplace and I'm paying state taxes, I'm going to be a little steamed. Well, anyway, the results, all they care about in the White House is not, like I say, the cost of your prime rib. It's their approval rating, and it's bad. At 46% approval, 48% disapproval, Biden's approval rating on the coronavirus is now underwater for the first time. His economic approval has sank more deeply underwater, with 37% who think this is awesome, compared to 56% who disapprove, which is down from 40 and 54. So as more people interact with higher prices, they're coming aboard the side that maybe a guy who hasn't been in the private sector since 1967 doesn't know what in the heck he's doing. This is Public Opinion Strategies saying, quote, "The COVID approval number is actually, I think, the more important one," said Micah Roberts, partner at Public Opinion Strategies. "As goes COVID, so goes the Biden presidency, and that's really proving to be quite true." I disagree. I think amongst the average American, and this is, it's crazy, of all the canaries in the coal mine, leave it to Hillary Clinton to be telling Democrats, "Wow, are you guys preaching to the choir? You need to break up the choir or bring in more baritones or something, because you're really missing what's going on out there." If you think that most people on December 10th, 2021, are living their lives wrapped around the news about the Omicron variant, then you're not out there. And if you're still wondering how Glenn Youngkin got elected governor of Virginia, then you're not out there. And if you think with 6.8% inflation, people are it's all about the COVID. Well, you're wrong. And it's not like, you know, Biden came up with a less lethal variant or whatever. And it's not like he is overriding county health czars. No. I mean, I got to say, besides the annoying ubiquity of the facial covering, I got to say, it's not a day-to-day thing. It's just not. There are some in some parts of the country, like in Michigan, because younger people are getting infected by it, they're overreacting, sending people to the hospital who shouldn't. And then now the big stink is that suddenly today on this Friday, there's a bunch of districts saying, hey, starting Monday, we're going to be Zoom. It's going to be Zoom school, which would, if you were a parent, right, and you're probably back at work, you know, wouldn't you be kind of steamed? Yeah. So without a heads up, and you would be saying back at them for what again? For a sniffle, for a light cold, you know, and we're probably in a world where it'll be 10 years before you send your kid to school with a sniffle, though and after 3 months, as it turns out, 3 months of data on the Omicron variant, it is apparent that it is basically a cold. It's a bad cold, is what it is. It's certainly not more lethal than the Delta. And so the original, one year ago, December, January, February was the United States peak in fatalities, the worldwide peak in fatalities. And, you know, and call it the great culling of the obese type 2 diabetic or whatever you want. If you made it through that, this one is not evidently going to kill you. If you made it through January of 2021 and you have respiratory problems, you're carrying, one or 200 pounds more than you should and all that. If you made it through that, then chances are you're going to survive basically a bad cold. And most Americans out there are saying, I'm at the point where I did what I had to do to flatten the curve. I tolerated a nightly press conference from Jay Inslee about nothing. Now let's just get back to work. And, oh, look at that, 6.8% inflation. So there's a mass misreading of sort of the temper of people out there. And you see it in this public opinion thing. That, oh, yeah, it's still the COVID. Micah Roberts, partner at Public Opinion Strategies, quote, the COVID approval number is actually, I think, the more important one, close quote. Really? You know, COVID isn't raising the price of tri-tip. So, no. You know, COVID maybe is giving me a sniffle, but chances are my body is just going to beat it off hard. So there's that. So everybody knows now about the Fox Christmas tree getting burned down, right? And they rebuilt it within 2 days. They lit it last night around 2 p.m. our time. Here on the West Coast. Okay, New York is suffering from the same crap that's happening up and down the West Coast. The guy who lit the fire, the arsonist who burned it, was literally watching it get relit. He was out on bail in New York City, witnesses say, sitting across the street. So New York is suffering from the same disease as, you know, talking about it yesterday, the crime rate and all these cities that have zero bail, all these counties doing zero bail and all that. New York is one of them. Just insane. But a sign of the times. Back in a couple minutes. The latest on the recall of Sawant, new charges for the parents in Grays Harbor County who just can't account for their 5-year-old daughter and haven't been able to because no one's asked for a year. More on that in just a second. It is your Friday, December 10th. Brian Suits here, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. underrated Christmas classic, everybody. The Ramones, Merry Christmas. I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on this this Friday. Snowy up in the mountains, chains required, but not enforced, or four-wheel drive, all-weather tires, but not enforced. So it'll be shut down again today, probably, because some idiot's going to spin out. Remember the name Julian Assange. Julian Assange. Years and years in the Ecuadorian embassy with his cat. By the way, with Russian GRU, military intelligence bodyguards, because he's not a spy. Anyway, a British court has finally ruled that he can be extradited to the U.S. And by the way, Julian Assange, not a whistleblower, a spy, a guy who was doing Kremlin disinformation. That's it. Oh, and Chelsea Manning, not a whistleblower. How about this name? Reality Winner. Remember that name? There's that. So he's afraid of being extradited to the U.S. But he's not facing the death penalty, so that's not an issue. Of course, if they extradite him to Sweden, he'll be facing sexual assault charges. But so there's that. But they can get in line behind us. I don't know. I'm no judge. But, you know, if a city council allows open mic, you get what you pay for. Remember the famous Seattle, there's a hole in the sky where a tree once was? that scene? Well, here's San Diego. Where, by the way, reportedly the only conservative town on the West Coast. I've heard different reports. But I got to say, some of the wackiest COVID city council meetings have been coming out of the city of San Diego, recorded open mic things, like the guy yelling "Hail Fauci." Did you hear that, Brady? The "Hail Fauci" guy,
yes,
he's screaming "Hail Fauci."
Yes,
grungy old white guy with like dreadlocks, like the last guy you would think would be going against the government, but he was like, "Hey," and so anyway, that was San Diego. This is San Diego. 2 days ago, it's a Christmas carol where magically the woman rhymes something with ivermectin.
For Christmas, just body autonomy.
Body autonomy.
I don't care about the variants because of natural immunity. I just want my freedom now. The Constitution will show us how. Make my dreams come true. And the state of emergency and acknowledge early treatment. Two.
She's holding her smartphone up for the music. You know.
Ivermectin, not just horse paste and hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C and vitamin D, then the zinc and quercetin. I won't wear a useless mask. I don't need to stay at home, and my kids should go to school. We don't need to be alone. I just want my freedom now. The Constitution will show us how. Make my dreams come true. Baby, I end the emergency. Let's have a happy holiday, everybody.
So that was her 2 minutes. There you go. Excellent. Well used. I mean, she didn't literally rhyme anything with ivermectin, but so that's San Diego. And what you can't see is that the city council persons and are rolling their eyes because, oh, my God, this person's denying science and the whole thing. But so anyway, of course, if she had done this in Seattle, she would have been body slammed out of the meeting by the other people waiting to sing about a hole in the sky where a tree once was and all that. But anyway, that's San Diego. She has a red shirt and then a Santa hat on, and she spent her time putting that together. So there you go. And all right, well, so a Sawant update on this. As of last night, I don't know if there's a gigantic ballot dump this morning, but they did one yesterday afternoon. Seattle City Council member Ashama Sawant polled ahead of the ballot measure to recall her. Now she's at 50.3% of the total counted votes, gaining ground 2 days in a row. 3 days into the ballot count, the race is too close to call, with 232 votes separating the yes and no. So this is more than 40,000 voters. 600 ballots are pending due to signature challenges. And so the I was off on by assuming that yesterday's margin would sustain through the 1,500 uncounted votes. No, the late turned in ballots are all swinging towards Sawant, which would indicate that she mobilized her leg humpers really late, or there's another possibility, and that is ballot harvesting has been done, and to its dreaded effect. So there's that, but we'll see. I'm just telling you, having seen the aftermath of a recall or two, if the target politician survives the recall, they do not say, "Wow, what a wake-up call. Who knew? Who knew that many people that I'm supposed to represent don't like me?" And this is not just because they didn't elect me in the first place or didn't re-elect me, but they actively went to the trouble to try to recall me. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to wake the heck up, and I'm going to double down, and I'm going to ask my constituents who elected me to represent them what their concerns are, from Madison Park to Dick's on Broadway, which is going to be closed for a while. So that's what you would hope an elected official would do. Okay. Look at the personality involved. How do you think she will take this? Let me tell you, because I know a narcissistic ideologue who is a governor of the largest state in America. It required for him to survive his recall. It required the Democratic National Committee, the National Party had to come in and spend more money fighting his recall than they did getting him elected in the first place. The result from Gavin Newsom was not a dose of humility, you know, of, "Oh, my God, I was caught in the French Laundry while people were masked up and kids were out of school." No, because that would be rational. It was empowerment. So I'm here to tell you, with an identical personality, a self-destructive narcissist like Councilperson Sawant is going to take this, and she will, when she declares victory later today or when it's certified next week, she will say this is clearly a reaffirmation of her policies to scare big business out of Seattle, to slay Amazon, because whoever worked for Amazon, and to eliminate Boeing as an entity or whatever her next thing is. I mean, if you think that you saw her in fifth gear in the last 7 years, wait till she survives a recall. Will she in any way, shape, or form be an effective council person? Well, no. Will she further alienate herself from others who have been suspecting she may be crazy? Some would say. Well, no. But so anyway, just beware the politician that survives the recall. If what they did annoyed you so much that you signed a recall petition, wait till they survive it. You know, as they say, when you come for the king, you better not miss. But back in a second, the latest fallout of the announcement this morning, 5:30 Pacific time, inflation for the month of November, 6.8%, highest in 40 years. So look out for the "I did that" stickers all over the gas pumps. So let's go. Brandon chimes in today at your pocketbook. Back in a second. It is Brian Suits here until 9 a.m. 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right way traffic. Welcome back to 770 KTTH. It's your Friday, the 10th of December, 2021. Brian Suits here, and a Shakespearean event played out in Pioneer Square yesterday morning. We'll get to that. Next hour, the King TV talked to the resident of Spanaway, now called Fafoville, the man who defended his home when two people kicked the door in at 4 a.m., motive unknown. And Pierce County spokesperson with them, some fairly unfortunately timed advice when King Five spoke with him about homeowners defending their homes with firearms. Out to Grays Harbor. Okay, so it's Friday. And this was the issue. The parents of the missing 5-year-old girl were held on manslaughter charges. They had to be charged today or released. So investigators have been looking into other stuff. There's new charges so that they can be held. Here is Como 4 with the latest last night from Grays Harbor County.
Disturbing new details are emerging about little Oakley Carlson, who is still missing in Grays Harbor County. The sheriff's office now says there is no independent evidence that anyone has seen her alive in at least a year. Como's Keith Eldridge reports from Oakville.
A year.
You all know why we're here. We're here to celebrate 5-year-old Oakley.
A candlelight vigil tonight in Oakville, a vigil of hope that Oakley Carlson will be found. But as people made their way through town comes the startling word that no adult has reported seeing her over the past year.
So we are really trying to find somebody that can tell us the last time they saw her alive. And so if anybody has that information, and at this point we're going back over a year trying to find when she's been last seen by an adult that we can verify.
That blows my mind. How?
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. Like, we heard the same thing, and it was just like, how is it possible that no adults other than her parents that we know of have seen her in over 12 months?
Jamie Joe and Eric Hiles were Oakley's foster parents up until 2 years ago when CPS gave Oakley back to her parents, Jordan Bowers and Andrew Carlson, with CPS saying they'd monitor for a few months.
They said 6 months. They were going to check for 6 months. That is not enough time. We had her for, you know, well over 2 years. And the 6 months, they were able to check a couple of boxes, and they were okay. Within the 6 months, we're done, never checked her again.
CPS says it can't comment for privacy reasons.
And so the candles are out, the hope is there, and what they really want is to make sure that Oakley's picture remains out in front so that people can take a look.
That's not the story I thought it was. I mean, that's the stuff we knew yesterday. And by the way, but I just thought of this. So the county or the state cleared them after 6 months, and the caseworkers stopped going. Apparently so. Anyway, the big news today is that there's a 6-year-old daughter who they know of and is alive. Yesterday, prosecutors in Grays Harbor County charged the parents, Andrew Carlson and Jordan Bowers, with abandonment of a dependent person in the second degree. The reason being, those two have not been providing medication for their 6-year-old daughter as required by her doctor for approximately the past 15 months. They have not been giving her a prescription that her pediatrician's given her. And that when you're a parent, I'm assuming there's nobody who listens to 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here Friday morning. How you doing? Who needs to be told that when you're the parent of a child and the child is, say, a type 1 diabetic, that it's on you to provide the medication. No one throws an insulin needle, at a 6-year-old or whatever. Or whatever the medication is, it's you. So in them not doing that, they provide the grounds for a charge where they get to stay behind bars. So the Grays Harbor Sheriff's Office says the 6-year-old is now in protective custody. They say the medication is necessary for her physical well-being, puts her at risk for physical impairment, and could eventually result in death. And by the way, 6 is too young, besides very, very general terms, unless a six-year-old can be really specific about witnessed behavior or things. You know, if you're thinking, oh, well, they have the six-year-old, she'll reveal where her sister is. It doesn't exactly work like that. Now, she might be able to say, yeah, mom and dad took her for a walk. They live on 300 acres in Grace Harbor County. And she might be able to say, yeah, mom and dad spent a lot of time over there. Something like that. But otherwise, you know, as far as testimony goes, six, yeah, not so much. But because they evidently are unable to care for their own children, they gave Andrew Carlson and Jordan Bowers provide Grace Harbor County with the ability to charge them and hold them. So there you go. So at this point, by the way, they continue to be held on $150,000 bail with their next court appearance set for December 30th. The little girl, missing 5-year-old, hasn't been seen since January 27th, 2021. Unless there's some extraordinary caseload in Grace Harbor County, which I know it's one of those counties. If you're in this one, insert name of your county here. There's an extraordinary caseload going on in regards to drug addicted parents, child abuse, and all that. That's the other pandemic. Besides teen suicidal ideation, the other pandemic is child abuse and all that. So I get it that they're overwhelmed. But in this case, when this case comes out fully, there might be a lot of pointing backwards at opportunities to have prevented what looks like a 5-year-old losing her life at the hands of her parents. Two meth heads, both alike in dignity, in fair Pioneer Square, we lay our scene. Yesterday was a stormy, windy, rainy, gray Thursday at 8 a.m. A 29-year-old man is recovering after being shot in the stomach Thursday morning in Seattle's Pioneer Square neighborhood at 8 a.m. This is according to Cairo 7, by the way. Someone called 911 and reported that someone had been shot near 2nd Avenue and Cherry Street. When officers arrived, they found a man with a GSW to the abdomen. Police administered first aid until medics arrived, took the man to Harborview, blah, 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 blah. Police said the victim declined to cooperate with the investigation and did not provide any information into what happened. These aren't my pants of stomach wounds, apparently. A shell casing was found in the 200 block of Cherry Street, indicating a semi-automatic handgun. And officers photographed blood on the sidewalk near 1st Avenue. Police, and this is where you may want to have a seat. Police said they recovered 10 grams of methamphetamine at the scene. I know, astounding that it would be sitting around, right?
That's free profit.
I know. Hey, look over there, free mask, free meth. After reviewing surveillance video from surrounding businesses, police said they were very bored with the story and were fresh out of Fs. And I don't blame them. All right. We will be back. An update on inflation. The number coming out this morning. Just go to a gas pump and discover for yourself how joyous it is. And the gap between the popularity of Democrats and Republicans as of today. A snapshot, if you will, by CNBC of all people. Back in a second, Friday, December 10th, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with right-way traffic.